You know, when you look at the subject of blessings, one man comes to mind, into the forefront of your mind, Abraham. Abraham received promises of blessings from God, and we are blessed because of an ancestor, for what Abraham did thousands of years ago. Turn to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, beginning of verse 1. And this is where it all starts. God says to Abram, get out of your own country, out of your country, from your kindred and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. So contained in this is the physical blessings and the spiritual blessings. Spiritual being the last part of verse 3. In you all families of the earth shall be blessed. And so this is the ultimate blessing that you can have. It affects everybody. And so we're affected by what Abraham did, or Abram at that time, thousands of years ago, and it carries to the present. Let's go to Genesis 26, because this was passed down to the next generation. Genesis 26, verse 2. If you look in the first verse, there's a famine. A lot of famines going on back in those days. And there was another Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. So the Eternal appeared to him, to Isaac, and said, do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I give all these lands. And I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So he's talking about Jesus Christ, your seed. And the reason he says that is because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And so he dwelt there. Verse 12. So Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks, herds, and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. And so that's why they had to keep moving on and moving on. So God was blessing him right then and there, physical blessings. So it's passed from Abraham to the son, Isaac, and it's going to get passed on again. And so we know it goes down to Jacob. Let's go to Genesis 49. Genesis 49. And we'll begin in verse 1. So it's the end of Jacob's life. Jacob called his sons and said, gather together, that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel your father. And he goes on. He goes through Reuben. You're my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, you shall not excel. So it's not exactly a good blessing. It's more like a curse in one sense. Because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. So even though he's one of the 12 tribes of Israel, he's still going to have an overall blessing, but it's not going to be like his brothers. And there were other problems with some of the tribes, Simeon and Levi, because of their cruelty. And so if you know about Simeon and Levi, you realize they had to be spread out. They were just too violent. So they had to be spread out, split up. And it says, "Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel." So what he's saying is, Simeon and Levi are spread among the other tribes. And of course, we know the Levites are, but Simeon is another tribe that has a story to it as well. And it goes in verse 8, "Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion he shall rouse him." Who shall rouse him? "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes." And if you trace the family line in Judah through the royal line, you can trace at least four branches into Europe of that royalty. And of course, we know the ones in England right now, and of course, another generation with Prince George. Interesting little boy. I guess he just turned one, right? So you have royalty, and a lot of that Jewish royalty is in different European countries. You can go into places like Denmark and Netherlands and all that, and they trace it back through the Jewish royal line. It went through Charlemagne. It went through Helen of Troy. So this royal line went down through the generations. And of course, what it's really also talking about is Jesus Christ, because he's of that line. And he talks about that in verse 11 and 12. Verse 13, "Zebulun shall dwell by the haven of the sea. He shall become a haven for ships, and his border shall adjoin Sidon." And if you look at the Dutch, they are very seafaring people. Lots and lots of ships in the Netherlands. You think about what they had to do to reclaim the land just to, you know, get out there and have something to live on. And then it's talking about the other tribes. And then it comes up to Joseph, verse 22, "is a fruitful bow. A fruitful bow by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him and hated him, but his bow remained in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, by the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb, blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers." And then it talks about Benjamin, the little brother, being a ravenous wolf. And in a lot of ways, you can look back at the Vikings and say, yeah, it kind of ties in with them, Norwegian. So you have these blessings, very specific traits as well. And in essence, if you look at Jacob being the father, blessings were passed to Jacob and then divided up among these 12 sons. And then it continued on till today. And so our country is blessed once again because of what Abraham did, and also Isaac and Jacob, because it had to be continued on with the character down through the family line. Try to imagine living in a country that's not blessed. We take it for granted. We're born here. We grew up here. And has anybody here visited Africa? No one, right? Maybe Southeast Asia? No? Places like that? You would not want to live in Africa, just overall. Diseases, I heard that Ebola is going around again, just recently. One time we had a Bible study in Pasadena about Burma, which is Myanmar now. Everybody's changed their names. So I guess when they got their freedom from, I assume it's the British, things didn't go well. I think it was 1962. And it hasn't gone well since. That's a long time. So we had this minister visit Burma, and he had pictures, and he would show the bathroom. Nobody had touched that bathroom since the British left. Nobody fixes anything. It just falls apart. That's not being blessed at all. At all. Things just keep falling apart. You would not want to be living in a country like that. And even compared to places in Europe, we are very blessed in this country. And these are blessings that are passed on, not for something we've done, but our ancestors. Now, God also put in conditional blessings. So let's go to Leviticus 26 for the nation of Israel. He said, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. If then, Leviticus 26 and verse 3. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Now, most of what you would read in there would think you'd think about rain, but there are other things that prevent you from getting fruit from trees. Pests. Few other things. That's not talked about here, but at least if you have the rain, the trees should be producing the fruit and yielding their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in the land, in your land safely. So if you look at that in verse 5, that's a millennial scripture. You can find that elsewhere in the Bible, referring to the millennium. Okay, so what's happening is it's based upon conditions, obeying God's commandments, statutes, and judgments. During the millennium, same laws apply. Nothing's changed. It's just now God's Spirit is around, God is around, we will be around, so the government is going to change. Let's go on to verse 6. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. And so, once you have peace, you're not going to war, you're a lot more productive. You know, during World War II, everybody's going to war. All the men are off to war. And so things kind of, I wouldn't say ground to a halt, everybody's producing for the war. But you're not doing much outside of the war. As soon as they come back, you start producing overall. And so this country just took off, if you want to think, the 50s was pretty productive in terms of families and babies and you name it. It just took off, you know, once World War II was over. You have peace. Let's go to verse 7. Talking about the military, you will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. Now, I remember in high school, it was probably my sophomore year in high school. You can think about that time frame. Sophomore year in high school. And was it 2 years before that or 1 year? 67 Six-Day War happened in Israel. And so this one guy, he's quoting this scripture fairly well, and he's just ecstatic about what happened because, you know, that's basically what happened with Judah in the land of Israel, you know, with them fighting. Because they thought, the enemy thought, oh, we'll just surprise Israel and overpower them. It didn't quite work out that way. And so Egypt, Jordan, and Syria were defeated. And so Jordan lost some land and some people and had to gain a lot of refugees because of that. Initially, they did not want to go to war. That's what we heard when we were over there. But God blessed them. The problem we have right now is this is not the typical wartime situation. And this is a people that God calls a thorn in the flesh. It's not the same thing. So a thorn in the flesh, when God says they're going to be a thorn in the flesh to you, they're going to be a thorn in the flesh to you. And so he's probably not going to do a whole lot of helping. It's going to be a slogging out. nothing great. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. So Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, blessings and cursings. And let's go to verse 12. So here it's combining two things in this verse. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And so that's the way it was in our country until right around 1982. You could say 1980, but 82. We became a debtor nation. And when you look at debt, you know, there's different ways to look at debt. But a trade deficit is one way. And the trade deficit, current trade deficit, is $44 billion a month. So that's a half a trillion a year. And supposedly that's supposed to be improving. We should improve if they don't destroy the economy in the process. Everything's going well with oil and natural gas, but you still have to see the benefits. But $44 billion a month is the trade deficit. I don't know if we'll survive. So you look at all these blessings, and it occurred because of what people did in the past. God put conditions on the nation of Israel, but we're not exactly in a position to have much effect right now. As individuals, though, what can we do today? What about us today? Can we have blessings today as individuals? So what is a blessing? Well, things go well, right? Things go very well sometimes. It's the opposite of a curse. Things go very poorly if you're cursed. So one of the things that happened about, was it 14 years ago? Well, it's a book came out, The Prayer of Jabez. Do you remember that Prayer of Jabez? So this book comes out, says it's called The Prayer of Jabez, Breaking Through to the Blessed Life by Bruce Wilkinson, published in the year 2000. And the Prayer of Jabez is found in 1 Corinthians 4. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. And verse 9 says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. So Jabez means he will cause pain. So if you are named he will cause pain, and you grew up with that name, and you were a good guy, you're more honorable than your brothers, what would you do? So, verse 10, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. His name is, he will cause pain. He didn't want to cause pain. That I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. So, a book is written, about 100 pages, somewhere around there. And if you look at this verse, what does he say? Oh, that you would bless me indeed. So people look at that. God, and Jabez is asking for a blessing. That's simple. And then a whole book is written about this verse. A whole book. So I'm going to give you some quotes from the author. Quote, dear reader, I want to teach you how to pray a daring prayer that God always answers. It is brief, only one sentence, with four parts, and tucked away in the Bible. But I believe it contains the key to a life of extraordinary favor with God. Thousands of believers who are applying its truths are seeing miracles happen on a regular basis. Will you join me for a personal exploration of Jabez? I hope you will. Quote, well, there's another quote. Discover how to release the miraculous power of God in your life. See what God will do for you when you put Jabez prayer to work. End quote. It's a good sales job. And it's all this verse here. One sentence. So how can he say God will always answer that prayer? That would be based on words, not on the person. But here it says Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, so it's based on his character. So how can he say that people are going to receive answers to something that's just words? This was the prayer of Jabez, not our prayer. People memorize and repeat the same prayer daily. He says, do this for 30 days. Try it for 30 days, and you will see the results. It's a formula. Repeat the same prayer, memorize it, and repeat it over and over and over for 30 days. That's not going to do anything. So when I read this, I think, don't they know God? That's my first question. It's like a mystery. There was a guy at work, and he was covering all his bases. So he said, I'll pray to Buddha, I'll pray to Jesus, and I forgot who else he said, just to make sure. I thought, okay, that's not going to do anything for you. But it's sort of like that. You know, they don't know what they're doing, so they just say, do this for 30 days. It's like a weight loss program. Do this for 30 days. You know, a few years ago, we went down for a wedding. Our nephew was getting married. And what happens when you don't attend any church and you need a minister? You rent a minister. You go to the Yellow Pages or whatever now, whatever you do nowadays. So they hire this guy, and he's over there. You know, he's got his own little style of wedding ceremony. At the very end of the ceremony, he says, and you can call da-da-da-da, and I'm available. My name is Gary, the SoCal wedding guy. And I thought, what? Okay. So this is, that's basically what it is. It's, you know, they're trying to make some money, and they're not sincere. So just repeating a prayer over and over doesn't get results. And that's brought out in Matthew 6. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 7. Because Jesus said, don't do that. It says, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And that's it. Don't keep repeating things. You don't need to keep repeating the same thing over and over and over. God wants us to talk to him. That's all. He wants us to have a relationship with him. And one of those ways is by prayer. I don't know if you've ever had anybody approach you and say, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Maybe you've never had that happen to you. Or something close to that has happened to me, I think. But through answered prayer, it develops your relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. You know, you read the Bible and it's God talking to you. When you pray for something, you're talking to him. But there's a third part. There's the answer to what you're asking for. And you start to learn how God thinks and he works. And you learn about his personality and his character. Sometimes it's pretty funny. When he answers things the way he does. And so you develop a relationship with him. And so if you pray for God's blessing, unlike the way they're doing with the Jabez prayer, you will have the benefit of the blessing as well as starting to learn more about God. So one of the things, and you have to keep this in your mind, it's practical, it's real, it works. Ask for God's blessing on the day. It's very simple. It's not just a words. It's a literal asking for God's blessing on the day. Even if it's half of the day is gone, ask for God's blessing on the day. You know, this last Sunday, Geesies were wrapping things up, so we went over to help. I was busy patching holes on the wall, and Brenda was packing boxes. got over there about 1:30. I think we're there 3 hours, from what I can tell, 4:30. And we had some things we were going to do that day that were kind of in that direction. So we thought, let's bring everything we need with us. And I had to return some things to a store. And I thought, well, okay, I'll go over there. When we finish, we'll go, whatever, 12 miles that direction, drop this off, and then come back this direction and do this over here and do this over here. And I don't know how many of you are, did you get your Myers-Briggs letters, STJs? You'd like to organize, you know, somewhat organized in how you do things when you have to drive around many, many miles in different directions. And so I thought, how's this going to work? The store's going to be closed, and this one's going to, you know, how are we going to do this? So somewhere around 3:30, I thought, I'm just going to relax and go with the flow, which is not normal for me. So another hour goes by, we finish our work, and we go over to the Goodwill, drop off a few things. He wanted to take us out to eat. We start heading up Highway 65. I mentioned that I had to go to the store, return something. He says, oh yeah, that store's over here somewhere. It's not on the GPS because it's a new store. So we're driving along Highway 65. We're into spots it off the side of the freeway. Pull off. It's about 5:15. I thought, oh, they're closed. Nope, they were open. Returned everything. Got $117 back. I thought, I'm going to have to come back for a second trip, you know. But all of a sudden, there's the store. We drive two more miles. There's the restaurant. Now, that's close. For up in the foothills, that's like next door. 2 miles. And so we go to eat. Come back, pick up some food in the refrigerator, go over and pick up a yard of topsoil. That's the other item we had to do. So we got everything done. We could not see how it was going to work. But when you look at it, it's like you're in a maze. Human beings are in a maze. And you have these walls, and you turn left, go right, turn left, go right, right. You don't know where you're going. You think you know where you're going. You try. God is above the maze, and he's saying, okay, I'm going to make them turn right, and I'm going to make them turn left, and they're just going right through the maze the quickest way, but they don't know it. And so God arranges things for you in ways that you don't realize ahead of time. And so you don't have to worry. A lot of times you spend trying to plan some of those things out, doesn't work very well. God expects us to plan things out, but when things appear to be very difficult, God will take care of it. Now, God is fairly kind. I've learned that over time. Because sometimes you don't even have to ask for God's blessing. He reads your mind. You ever had that happen? You read your mind, you get a blessing. An answered prayer. It's not even a prayer. He just reads your mind and gives you what you want. And I'll give you an example of that. It wasn't even something I wanted. Emily Neff, the only other person living in rescue, you know, the Neffs. She was over, we were babysitting. What is she, 11 years old? And she's looking at this book we had on our coffee table, A History of a Place Called Rescue. She's excited because it's got some history, local history, and it's about local area, and she likes history. Her dad comes to pick her up, and she says, oh, Dad, you can get this as a peace present for me. And that was it. And they left, went home. 2 days later, the book comes in the mail to our house. And I'm thinking, we already have the book. Why are we getting a second book? And I'm thinking, I didn't call anybody. I didn't email anybody. I only ordered one book. And so I got the phone number, called the guy up, and he says, yeah, I was on vacation. When I got back, I was a little confused about who I shipped things to, so I probably double-shipped to you. So I said, okay, what do you want me to do with the book? He says, keep it, give it to somebody that wants it. So I thought, okay. So on Sabbath, I brought it over to Emily. So it's one of these things. I didn't pray for it. I don't think she prayed for it. It was just in our minds. Well, he saw what was going on. God sees everything. And so he thought, oh, I'll be nice and get him an extra book for free. And he did it. Another thing that happens with blessings Say you ask for a blessing on the day. Well, that includes several things that might happen in a day. Now, one time, I'll tell you the story. I retired in 2010, December. And so before the retirement, they were asking me, well, what would you like as a gift? And I told them, a cordless drill. Well, they didn't give me a cordless drill. One guy got a garden gnome. And now the other gift was pretty decent, but I thought, really, the cordless drill is, you know, what I really need. So I thought, I think I'll return these items. They won't know any different. So I did return the items, got a fair amount of money back. And then I went over to the, without naming it, the home improvement store, one of the big ones. And I stood in front of the cordless drills. And there was the model, everything, the brand and the model that I wanted. I'm standing there. And there's this guy over there looking at me. He says, you know, we have that model in the back for half that price. And I go, what do you mean? He said, no, can't be the same model. I mean, why would they have it for half the price in the back, full price out front? So he says, yeah, follow me. And I'm walking along. I said, can't be the same model. Go to the back, and on the end cap, you know, the end caps are on the ends of the aisles. There it is. The model was slightly different number. And the reason why is that was a Black Friday special. And it sat there since Black Friday till January. And nobody got it. So I said, okay, I'll get it for half price, save $100. So I was blessed saving $100 on something and getting money back from. So basically I had money left over. But the thing is, my initial thought is it can't be the same model. Don't turn things down. Don't use human reasoning. You know, the human reasoning is, why didn't somebody buy it? It's because God was saving it for you. That's why. So don't say no to blessings. Now, let's go to Malachi 3, verse 10, another memorization scripture. Long time memorization scripture. So he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And prove me, or test me, now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So God is challenging somebody to tithe. And he says, if you do, you're going to be blessed tremendously. And so it's a test. Expect it to happen, and it will happen. And so what happens is, first time I ever started tithing, my salary, or my hourly wage, was minimum wage, $1.65 an hour. So when people talk about minimum wage today, it's pretty high comparison, even with inflation. And when I retired, it was quite a bit higher than $1.65 an hour. So with raises and going to school and graduating, getting degrees and all that, you put it all together and God blessed me. Now, you just have to expect it to happen, and it will. That's faith. Now, many times a blessing is getting something for less money than it actually costs, or for free. You spend less money for something that you need, sometimes want, but you have to be careful of that. Selling something for top dollar and buying something similar for below value is another way. We know somebody who sold their car. For some reason, a guy wanted their car so badly, he paid $2,000 above Blue Book. They then bought their vehicle they wanted for $2,000 under Blue Book. So it was like a $4,000 swing in value. So it worked out very, very well. Now, one way to do all this that will open things up for you is it's a good idea to go to garage sales once in a while. you can be blessed. My wife is a GSE. Yes, there's only one letter you have to figure out. A garage sale expert. Okay. A couple months ago? She calls me up and says, it's in the morning. She calls me up and says, you know, there's this irrigation timer. We have 5 acres. We have 3 timers. So they can come in handy. She says, should I get it? I forgot what she paid for it. How? 8? 9? 8. Okay, I saw 4 fingers on one hand. Okay. $8. And you know how much it's worth? It's about 60. So, and it's in a box. As far as I know, it wasn't unused, new. So you can save money on things. It's just incredible. You know, when you go to garage sales, not everything is big. Sometimes it's small items. But it's also the same model that we already have, so we know a lot about it. So one of those principles they say is one man's trash is another man's treasure. That comes out in garage sales. Now, just recently, and we're worn out from this one, we were letting our lawn die, so we're doing a lot of landscaping. We need dirt. So if you had to go and buy dirt, topsoil is like $46 a yard. And if you need like 4 cubic yards, you can figure that out. $184. That's topsoil. Now, you don't have to have the whole thing topsoil. So we decided we got 1 cubic yard of topsoil free and then looked in Craigslist and there's an ad. And it had a range of cubic yards. It says this many cubic yards of topsoil. We will pay you $50 to take it away. I thought, well, that's better than paying them. They pay us. As it turns out, somebody else picked up 2 cubic yards, so they paid us $25 to pick it up. 4 cubic yards of fill dirt, not topsoil. Not quite the same thing. Hard to value that. But we're worn out. Wednesday and Thursday, 4 cubic yards. But it was close by, which is another good thing about it, 8 miles away. So sometimes to get a blessing, you have to do a little physical work. You know, if you're capable of doing physical work. You do your part, God will do his part. Now, there is another principle. The last point I wanted to make is being blessed by association. Let's go to Genesis 30. It might be that you are not the one that God is blessing, which is a little humbling, but Genesis 30. Hopefully you are. So Jacob's getting ready to leave his father, or his, okay, I'm losing track of the, okay, Jacob and his family are about ready to leave Laban. And verse 27, Laban said to him, because he wanted him to stay, keep staying, staying, staying. But he'd worked a long time. So verse 27, Laban said to him, please stay if I have found favor in your eyes. For I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. So just by having Jacob around, he knew it was overflowing to him. He didn't want to lose that. He recognized it. So blessing by association, family and friends. Let's go to Genesis 39, another example. It's not family and friends, but the same principle applies. Genesis 39, verse 2. So Potiphar, you know, Joseph is working there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him, and he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put in his hand. So it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So that's how you bless Joseph. You bless the owner, the master. And so God will bless somebody by association, close proximity. So it could be a husband or a wife, and maybe the individual's not in the church. They're being blessed because of the husband or the wife. Now we, today, are living in a country that's been blessed because of what Abraham had done thousands of years ago. And then it was passed on down to Isaac, and then to Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel. And for us, it's very, very hard to even imagine not living in a country that's blessed. We may find out very soon. We can also benefit from blessings from family and friends. But one thing you have to remember is you have to ask, because God isn't always just going to read your mind. So when you have to make an important transaction or decision, ask God to bless it. And you will be amazed at how things turn out. Ask God to bless your day. There are days where I'll forget, and then the days I think, okay, I got to remember. Some days, you start off the day, and you're thinking, what's going on here? It's not working out the way I thought it would. And because God is actually blessing you, it's just your decision was not the best decision. And so he's taking you around. And it doesn't look so good at the beginning, but at the end of the day, you'll find out that he knows what he's doing. It's sort of like God is a tour guide, and you're going, you know, we went to this island. It belongs to the Honduras. And you go to the island, and everybody wants to take you on this tour of the island. And so our son is out there, you know, 6'3", and everybody's short, and they're all hounding him, and it's just getting him really frustrated. He didn't know what to do. So he finally picked somebody. Well, it turned out, because he had already rented a car, that guy didn't use his van, he used the rented van. But he was with us, and he guided us around the island and brought us back eventually to the area we needed to come back to where the ship was. It's because he knew the island. Just like God knows everything on this earth, he knows how to arrange things, and he can make things go very, very well for you. And so he's like a super tour guide in one sense. So ask God to bless your day. And sometimes it's exciting because it's like an adventure. You get to find out how God's going to bless your day. And each day is a little bit different in how it turns out. Because it's not in man to direct his steps. Because remember, we're like in a maze. We can't see everything. We just turn right, turn left, turn right, turn left. But God is above it all. And what happens is when God answers these prayers, you start to understand God's personality and how nice he is, and he's got a sense of humor too. So you learn about his personality and his character. And remember, thank God for your blessings, and I mean that in a real sense, each day that happens. And remember your blessings for the future.